Hey, what's up? It's your boy Bobby Sapphire, and it is another episode of KTOD Radio. This is episode 11. That's nuts, Justin. Did you think we would get here?
I didn't necessarily doubt it. Shout out to the Boston Celtics, part of the old Decipher Kashuk region, for being champions. I've got my shirt that shows I'm not a bandwagon jumper, a Kevin McHale. It's a little snug.
Ooh.
But
and I've got the champ gear, just like Tatum.
Yeah, that's sweet. I did possess that McHale jersey for about 17 years, so I can't attest.
Yes, and Joe Mazzulla on Thursday joined the Discord, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, he knew KTOD Patreon's up.
Welcome, Joe.
And then new initiate to the Pokemon World Tour, Matty Gem.
Yeah, what's up, boys? Yeah, been using Pokemon as a little break so I didn't burn out from Star Wars Unlimited, but when the full set drops, I'm excited to get into it. Speaking of the number 11, I made this ball as a toll collector, this rubber band ball, 11 years ago, and I found it recently, and so I'll be playing with it throughout the episode.
Nice. Shout out to me and Maddie being toll collectors back in the day.
Yeah. So many rubber bands, you had to do something with them.
And then Stevie Getz looking very Vin Diesel down there in that tank, shaved head.
I got envy. Muscle.
Man, it's so hot these days. I got no AC. Like, just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, I'm full on Winnie the Poohing right now. I have nothing on below this shirt.
So that's hot.
We're getting ready for the calendar shoot as well.
Yeah, that's right. We got 3 months.
A new Patreon.
It's going to be great.
Similar up.
All right, so today we're going to talk about being in full set two mode. We're all kind of like getting over that in-between period. Maddie's been playing Pokemon. I've been playing TFT. I'm sure Steve's been playing TFT. Justin's been following the Celtics, hitting the gym, getting swole. We're going to talk briefly. I guess like now is the best time to talk about this, but we launched a coaching tier. We released a video. If you listened to this podcast but didn't think that coaching video would be worth your while, we did spend about 10 minutes talking about the benefits of coaching to make that episode something that people would want to watch. Our coaching tier is currently sold out, but keep an eye on expansion in the future.
Yeah, very exciting, and really excited to partner with Reflex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely one of the top players, really methodical the way he thinks and professional about the way he goes about his business. So excited to be part of it in a way, and looking to see where it blossoms in the future too.
Yeah, and he's been showing up at tournaments too. Like, there's no doubt about it. He's going to events and he's placing. So,
placing, one on one in other games.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, in our message,
and like is a coach. Like,
yeah, as a professional coach.
So. Yeah, it's perfect. It's a great. Great to have him on for that.
Yeah, he'll come back on a Sunday and be like, "Yeah, I went 8-0, 16-0. listen to you guys, it was solid. Yeah. The list you guys sent was good. Oh, I won another one." He's a owner of like 9 maces, better champion. So like 36 maces.
You'll love to see it.
Pretty good stuff.
All right. Well, with that, let's talk about pre-releases. I'm pretty hyped. I'm going to 2. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
I got one on the books.
Okay.
I got one.
It's tough around the 4th of July weekend. Like,
that's brutal. What a terrible
weekend. I'm going on a Tuesday one after. Yeah, I'm doing Tuesday after. I might pick up one if like I can get away and there's a spot open because ours are capped. But I'm cool with one because I think that we're going to actually save packs this time to like draft and play sealed and
stuff. Yeah, we learned our lesson for sure.
Yeah. I'm not opening 9 boxes in the back of a car ever again.
I might sign up and then just drop and bring the pre-release kit back so we can stream something.
Okay. Some stores actually will just sell you those too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, will they?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'll go a little smoother this time. People were learning the game. I think there won't be as many new initiatives, although I did not say that word right. I was at Great Stories today and some dude bought the starter decks to play with his nephew. So like people are still finding the game, which is super cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I told him the Vader one was the one to play so he could crush his nephew.
Nice. And the other thing to keep in mind is, like, organized play still not even announced. Like, we still don't even know what that's going to entail. We're really hoping that we find that out at Gen Con and we can broadcast it live from Gen Con and sort of, like, do vlogs because we're all going to Gen Con now. In fact, the entire 8-man tournament testing team are going.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome.
I think it's needed that they, at Gen Con, that there's definitely some, like, promotional things from FFG about what the fall is going to look like, with 2 sets under your belt, and a lot of stores and organizations, especially like the London organization, like putting on those majors and sort of mini pro events before it even started. Like, all right, that's great, and like people are sort of doing the work for you in a sense. So now, what do we actually what's it going to look like for organized play? Because they've said that that was coming. So hopefully,
yeah, and I hope it brings people either fully in or you know, helps people discover the game. But I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm looking forward to Gen Con in general. But so, yeah. As, sorry, Steve, what'd you say?
No, I was just saying, yeah, Gen Con's going to be dope. Got the loft.
We got the loft, the industrial loft. So one of the things I thought we could talk about today was just pre-releases, because this is our final episode until pre-release weekend. Oh. And just sort of like, now that all the leaders are spoiled today, which leaders would we actually consider using in limited specifically for the pre-releases? And, you know, just spend a couple minutes on each color. So looking at these blue leaders, are there any that you'd be happy to open in your pre-release and play?
I definitely think Ray would be my hypothetical pack one, pick one here. You know, I think Finn and Gar Saxon have the potential to be blowouts, but you're going to have to get the right packs. I do think if this was a draft format, I'd probably lean more heavily towards Finn or Gar, because that way you, in the draft, you can actually like make a conscious effort to build your deck around upgrades. And then in that situation, I think they would probably trump him.
And I think one thing we've seen, at least in like, I think some of the best things with Gar we found are set one stuff. So I'd have to really look at the set and make sure there's enough like things that already come into play, shielded or whatever, to utilize them.
Yeah, so I think Ray looks pretty good.
Yeah, like
Ray looks
there.
Pretty good. Like you're not always like, you don't always have the perfect curve.
Yeah, exactly.
And limited, so you're able to use her ability probably a little better, and like you could actually like draft, you know, pick her and then take a lot of low drops, and you're always getting value out of them because you know you're underdropping with some value.
Yeah, she wears equipment well. She's got a big booty. Restore is no joke.
Yeah, the restore 3 is going to be pretty serious in a pre-release. What about Kira? Kira healing all the damage from each unit and dealing half. You know, those pre-release games can be kind of a slog, and you end up with a bunch of units out. She could seriously.
There's also a lot of grit.
Yeah, there's a lot of grit too.
But for me, she seems like she's going to be a tricky one to play and very situational, and that's just going to make my head work for a pre-release.
Yeah, I would say Ray probably the easiest, and maybe Gar Saxon like the second easiest. They're both also the two commons. Kira and Finn are both rare. So much more likely that we see Ray if we see a blue pilot, I think. I would imagine that if people are playing blue at the pre-release, most people will be on Ray.
Yeah. And I think it speaks to, like, if there's, for Premier, in my opinion, Kira's incredibly powerful, and the other ones, Gar's a little bit of, you know, I think he's got some potential, but like Kira's just like head and shoulders above the other ones. And then you look at how in limited, in draft or sealed, those rates are just kind of flipped. So it's cool that the formats are so different. Obviously they're different, but it's cool that it's not like, okay, the best leader in Premier is also the best leader in limited.
Kind of like it happened a little bit set one with like Boba, right? Like early draft, it was like you wanted Boba, and then he was also in Premier. So I think like mixing it up and seeing these other leaders be more prominent, it's just kind of more refreshing.
Cool. All right, let's take a look at red. I think all of these are really good. I think I'd be pretty excited to open any of these. I think Bo-Katan may be the most difficult because she actually requires you to use Mandalorian, which could be something that isn't as ubiquitous in the set as Underworld. With like maybe boss coming in right behind, like you have to make sure that you also open some bounties. But our opponents could just play characters with units with bounties on them, so you might even still see value in playing a 4/6/5 drop. But I think all of these would be good. I'd be happy to do any of them.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I think if you get the Mandos, like I think Bo is insane. Like we've seen it in Premiere, like she can be really good with just a little bit of support. So I think you should get enough Mandos. I mean, you'd have to have, like, if your pool is really Mando light, no thanks. But, like, in draft or, like, a significant amount of Mandos, like, I'd play Bo.
I just think with a sealed pool, you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Nilo's really interesting, just, like, not even ever flipping him, just using his ability just to be a +2 over and over again. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea. And then, like, late game, you run out of cards, then he just becomes a 5. Right. Han and Bossk are the two common. out of this cycle.
Right. So, okay. So yeah.
I would say like Han makes it easy to play, like any bomb you open.
Yeah.
Even right. if it's
out of aspect. Color, yeah.
You're just like paying a little bit less for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like opening a land.
Really interesting, man.
It's huge, yeah, because it like paying one is not that big a deal. You're already gonna pay two for stuff in limited.
He's like in Magic Draft, like picking like a mana fixer, a pack one, and then like basically drafting five color kind of.
Like it's not the same set or whatever, but like imagine only having to pay like nine for a palp in limited. Like I would do that out of aspect. That's completely reasonable.
Yeah, same with like Snoke. I guess Snoke is double, but
yeah, Snoke would be really hot.
Could have like a blue.
Well, I guess you could have a blue base.
It could be blue, huh? Yeah, true.
Cool. All right, yellow.
Oof.
Yeah, this is tough. Cad seems like the safest and the easiest. Yeah. He is also the common. Him and Fennec are the commons here. I'd say Aphra probably one of the worst, just because like you really can't capitalize on the milling yourself plan, and you only have 30 card decks. So, like, I don't know, long sloggy games of limited and unlimited. I've definitely come close to milling myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've even taken damage.
Could go more.
Yeah, I mean, the last pre-release I won with no cards in my deck on one of my matches.
I mean, having an extra card's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and if you can build it right, and she's coming out on five as a 5/5, that's nothing to shake a stick at either. So, I guess it would depend on the power level of your pool and if you were able to play more cards. But I think Cad is the safest by far.
Yeah.
I don't hate Fennec there, but
it's just her ability costing one to do the ambush can be a little annoying, and her body, the 4/4 Zab, is like is also kind of just easy to kill. I think the Cad, like, with, you know, just comparing these and seeing Cad with the 8 booty and and making opponents start doing their damage, like, you're just winning a value war, which is like a lot of times what sealed is. It's just like a big attrition value war.
Yeah, 4/8 is big.
Yeah. Steven, anything to add, or are you kind of in the same boat?
No, I'm good. I mean, it's pretty, you guys kind of hit all the head on, nail on, whatever their expression is. I don't think
we're not carpenters. We don't know.
I actually had a draft double yellow in the draft I did this past week, and I very rarely have, actually never have drafted yellow before that. And I think if I don't have Cad, I don't even think I'd want to be in yellow. With looking
at the other leaders.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, which is interesting because like yellow seems insane. So like you're kind of hoping to like spike one of those other and then yellow base. It seems like.
Yeah, I guess none of the leaders really like play into a bounty hunter theme, like sub theme, which like you can build with your pool if you have it, because we're gonna see, or you know, if we've already talked about some very strong common and uncommon bounty hunters like Zuckuss, Forlom, Toro, or like none of them are rare, so like it's pretty reasonable to end up with a bunch of those things and wanting to be yellow. But yeah, if you're not Cat, or maybe we just need to see Aphra on the table and see if that one card that she gets you back is worth to try and go that route.
The land one could be kind of interesting, just in terms of your analogy of it's generally always an attrition war. Like being able to have those extra resources could definitely come to play, but it just feels like Smuggle in general is not going to be as strong as I initially thought.
Yeah, and I can see in draft, like, if you don't have an aggressive enough deck with Lando to close out the game, like, you start destroying your own resources while your opponent's, like, 6-7 resources and you're struggling to stay at 4 or 5, that, like, yeah, you better be really aggressive.
Yeah, you, like, if you have to get so far ahead, and if they claw back, you're going to probably be struggling.
Yeah. All right, we get green here. In this one, Boba and Hondo are the commons, and Jabba and Hunter are the rares. I would imagine that just the free bounty off Jabba can really turn on quite a bit of things in the set. Justin, you were looking at that today, right? Like all the things that like come in with bounty, like things that want bounty. I think Justin's busy. But also just like there's an insane number of keyworded units in the set to make Boba Fett good enough. So I don't know. I think everyone but Hunter is probably pretty decent. Although, like, Hunter's body at on
his body's really good. My kids were just asking if they, ironically, if they could watch one episode of Bad Batch. So perfect timing.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Hunter, I think, you know, he's so unplayable in Premiere. So maybe it'd be nice if he's somehow playable in Limited. Like, his
you're pretty much only playing him for his body, though, right?
Like, yeah, like, you're not going to have doubles. You'd have to have so many doubles to make that matter.
Yeah.
Although, I wonder if, like, you could get to a situation with Hunter where you have, like, seven of a card because it's limited, and there's, like, some, like, random, like, draft card that you just open 1,000 of, and you open Hunter, and, like, that's the pool. It'd be really interesting to see if that actually, like, was a thing. Of, like, a two-drop or something
just
like that.
Just, like, draw a million shocks.
You just, like, like a bargain bin, like, one drop.
Like, something, and you just have all of them, and because you have all of them, like, that's definitely happened in Magic, where there's been, like, oh, this card that, like, no one wants, but if you have, like, nine of them, it's just, like, super broken.
That's interesting.
And then, like, Hunter lets you do it, because there's no deck limit.
Right.
I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, looking at this list, like, I think incremental value from Boba, good. I think Hondo being, like a Tarkin light, I think is really good. I think Jabba could be good depending on what you pair him with, because, like, ramping and limited seems pretty busted and capture.
Yeah, all these guys come out on six or later too, which is a little problematic in limited. The format can get a little more aggressive if you're not able to answer things as easily.
Yeah, and Hondo could probably keep up, I feel like. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know. I think you just pick Boba, take the Anthem,
and then just move on.
Draft the 4/4 ambush, or the 2/4 ambush with raid. Draft the 1/5 with raid. Just play all these guys that have, like, raid and ambush and stuff. And
yeah, that's a good call.
Buff them,
jam, sentinel.
I like
that. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's good. And then, of course, at the pre-release, we're going to be able to play with these guys. So is there a reason to, take these over the options at green and yellow? Like, if we have Hondo and Jabba, I guess we'd probably have to be pretty low curve to want to consider Gideon. But if we don't really like Fennec or Lando that much,
You're
definitely playing
Mando.
Right? Like, just a 4/7 for six that exhausts guys with upgrades. Like, he seems like a. I would imagine that, like, half the field will be Mando.
Yep.
At these pre-releases,
it'll be kind of like what was the big one? Was it Vader that a lot of people? Well, people play Luke too, but I feel like I saw a lot of Vader at my pre-release, and, like, I think it's going to be the same on the other side with Mando. So many good upgrades. Yellow, as we saw, is insane, and you don't really care about the other yellow cunning hero leaders. I think he's gonna be nasty.
I do think Moff Gideon leads to some pretty insane draft decks when you start getting down that route where you're going the aggressive and the low cost. But again, like Mike was saying earlier, when you get sealed, you never know what you're gonna get, so it's so hard to actually consider it in that format.
Yeah, and we should be getting some packs from FFG to do some pre-release videos before the pre-release comes out. So look for these guys to be making those videos over the next week. Hopefully we get those out to you ASAP as soon as the box gets here.
Yep.
I'll be on vacation.
I'm checking
you
out
guys
front.
Enjoy the packs. I hope you pull. I hope you pull a showcase, to be honest.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
follow us on YouTube. You can maybe check out some of the action.
Smash that like button.
Like, comment, subscribe. Did you know 50% of you are not subscribed right now? Hit
I'm
that
subscribed.
Subscribe button. Yeah, ding the bell to be notified. And Han Solo drops a two damage unit.
To the stage.
You know that someone's been watching a lot of Pokemon YouTube streams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I got them queued up.
All right, so Justin, Maddie, and I talked about the leaders that dropped today, but we've been talking about the good new leaders when we do Good, Better, Broken. So if you haven't checked out our video from Friday where we grade all the leaders, we go into our teacher modes. Me and Justin are teachers. Maddie invoked his best, tried to invoke the spirit of the teachers that loved him in high school.
There weren't many.
And graded these out. But I don't know. First, Steve, do you have anything that, like, jumps out at you as looking at Han? We both.
I think he's going to be. Good. He's going to be real strong. I think just the aggression. I do find, kind of getting back to what you're talking about with the early leaders that dropped today, ramp definitely seems much more of a theme in this set. Mm-hmm. And I think you see it with Han, you see it with Jabba. I think it, some like that ambush ship is going to go great in green, yellow Han, the other old Han.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like in general, the set is definitely geared more towards ramp and going to the mid to the late game, which I think will be an interesting counterpart to like when Green Sabine just ran over everything, or even double yellow Bulba. Like where set one was very aggro focused, set two and Han in particular and things along those lines are definitely geared more towards the ramp in the mid to the late game, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, what really unlocked Han for me is just like we worked so hard in set one to do things like ambush in our super laser tech to kill it so our opponent couldn't bounce it or steal it or something like that. And Han just lets us do that one ramp for free. Like, obviously, it's on demand. It's not going to perpetually follow us without his action. And if we can only do it for units, but that's still a big portion of the ramp strategies is just getting that unit out that you need one turn earlier and having just like played against Wu last night where he's dropping home ones on seven, made it really, really tough to keep up with that kind of ramp. So I think that Han is just, I think he's just going to be a huge meta player, for as long as he's legal in Premier Constructed.
Yeah. Broken. There was a tournament I watched, I think broken to potentially broken.
Yeah.
That like, it was one of the first tournaments, might be like the Philly 1K or something, where like basically it was two players and they just kept casting like eight drops like over and over and over and over and over again. And I feel like that's going to be what Han does. Like he's going to get to a point where like he just draws two cards and like you can't discard against him because he's just going to, whatever he draws is going to be like super gas. And like you see cards like Crate Dragon, Home One, there's that new ship that's like an ambush card. That Marauder card, Home One's going to bring other cards back. Poe, you know, Wrecker's a little bit counterintuitive to that, but Wrecker's just so strong. Like, why wouldn't you play him? And it's like, keep, like, half your deck is Haymakers, and then, like, you play, like, 12 ramp spells, and your leader has the built-in ramp. So, like, you know, and, like, he might even be a card where, like, you play him, you use his actions, and then you just use him to, like, kill a 3-drop or something just because you know you're going to, like, be continuing to cast these like
you're just protecting your life total so you can make other things happen.
And like I think the fact that he can make your aspect penalty only one is disgusting. Like the amount of deck building possibilities as this game goes on and he's legal, like you can super laser tech for four, that's completely reasonable. It dies right away, you get it, you know. That's like, some people were playing that for five in the early.
Yeah, we've seen some whacker uses of super laser tech. That's what I was gonna say.
And that's just one thing you could do. Like that's just one possibility to like to take advantage of that. And I think what we've seen in these ramp decks sometimes is that they get run over. But the fact that he can drop things early, and also he can come out, you know, early and just deal with something and go back to doing what he does best.
Doing what he does
incredible.
Best.
Yeah.
You can play Maul, and Maul can kill his own Han. And redirect the damage just like in the movies. Solo sequel like, that never happened.
Just like that final scene of Solo when everyone's like, wait, what? When did this take place?
Yeah. I thought that broke my brain.
Worth the risk. Yeah, I'm sure most
people. Yeah, I think he's broken.
Yeah, same. I love him. I think he's really good.
Like he could, depending on what they put around, if they like kind of like the Han Sevens thing, like he could get banned. I could see it.
Yeah.
Inherent power.
He might be,
he's too good. Yeah.
All right, other new leader today, Jabba the Hutt, his high exaltedness, 212. His action, he gives people bounty, and that bounty is you may play the next unit you play this phase costs less. One on his leader side, two on his unit side. So this guy is just given free bounties. So he turns on all your bounty strategies, and when he deploys, he lets another one of your units capture any enemy non-leader unit, which seems absolutely busted. The thing I'm most excited for now is that I can finally build a deck with Dryden Voss, who I also think is busted. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to make that my Jabba flip turn.
I hope you break him, because like my one fear with this card is like how action economy works. And like at playing, you know, like I played Vader ramp at that local showcase, and like I had to first action kill things or I would just have died. So that's I see the power level in the card. But I'm just afraid of, like, you never have initiative, and, you're going to really have to get good value out of this ramp ability.
Yeah, I ranked him, I think, really high when we recorded the leader video, and then I mapped it out. I actually just wrote out like what would happen, like opponent plays a unit, and like what needs to happen. You sort of always end up being on the back end because, like, even if you have ambush, then you're not playing the card for cheaper. So like that text never really feels like it's gonna kick in unless you have shielded guys. But if you have shielded guys and you're like down on actions, like they can lane dodge too. But it feels really challenging to actually like get a situation where you're like you're able to say, okay, I'm putting a bounty on this unit, then they do something. Then I'm killing this unit with something else that's already in play, which now then unlocks the lower deploy. And that's like essentially what you need to do to sort of use him as a ramp. And that just seems like a real stretch.
Yeah, you need to be building a board and killing things with the board, or else you might as well not even be playing him for his ability.
You're building a board, but you're also like, you have to do that essentially never having initiative because of the bounty thing. And maybe there's a way to do it where you actually don't use his ability like the first couple turns, and you end up using like turn three,
and that goes
3 to 5 with the duration. But it's definitely tricky.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of like Boba, right, where you had this like big flip turn. You weren't always using the one resource, even though I think we got better at doing that as the set went on. But like when you did line up everything and you could make a deck that took advantage of that, I think that's where the power is. But I agree with Justin that might take a little too much finagling. But it sounds like Mike has some good ideas in the future, at least.
I just see there being some units that in some decks that are like there now. Like we got Pershing. People play the Mining Guild Tie. People are going to play the Client. Like cards that aren't necessarily destroying our board when we kill them. And there is opportunity in those matchups to like get ahead of the control games. But like, yeah, obviously against aggro, if you're not ready, like you're going to be on the back foot. But I think in those matchups, those are the ones where you're not really using the Jabba ability.
I think another thing that's going to be tough is like early on building this guy from like scratch versus like, okay, now Sabine is still around, Boba's still around, and they're like, oh, I got like, you know, a very clear add that I'm going to include in my deck, and their decks are going to be even better. Like you look at like a Sabine that now has Poe or Wrecker or what have you, or both.
Both.
When you're like trying to figure out like, how do I, and then you play against one of those decks and it's a bloodbath because like they have 5 on turn 4 and you're like, give that guy a bounty.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah, early growing pains with the deck list. I guess the other thing that I'm a little worried about with Jabba is like, if we're playing Jabba to beat like some of the control decks where they have guys out there that we can easily bounty, like, I don't know. I think Palp already does a really good job at that. So that's kind of what my brain is going towards. But I am excited to try him out and be proven wrong and see where it goes.
Excited for the showcase for sure.
Yeah. I think he's good, I could see him being bad.
Yeah. Showcase would be fire.
I think like what Justin mentioned is, if he is going to be successful, you really got to think of him as, all right, what are the two turns, the key turns, like going from 3 to 5 or 4 to 6, and kind of building the deck and focusing on that to get the advantage. Because I think, like you guys were saying, you can't realistically ever be expecting to be getting the bounty every turn.
Right. Yeah, you got to make it count when you get it. All right, next one, Enterprising Lackeys. Quite literally broken. This is a unit that will never go away as long as it's played and defeated, because you may defeat a friendly resource and put it into play as a resource when he dies and smuggle him back. So this thing will live as long as you want it to live. Is it broken contextually within the meta? I don't know. But having a unit that never dies seems like it is the perfect sort of like mono green control unit. Like I could envision a list that only has 4 units and it's 4 of these.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Like a Aetherling type of thing.
I don't think that's necessarily how green usually plays. But like, if you were going to build a control deck and you just like didn't need guys until you needed guys, then this would be it.
Yeah,
I mean, probably combos pretty well with Emperor, the guy who. Leader that sacks people like that, I think, would potentially lead something broken, because it just goes outside the normal like game actions or rules of the game.
You always have something to, even if it's a hefty cost, you always have something to sack, and they might not see it coming.
Yep.
No, that's cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, a guy that is always in there, and he's like statted well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's, I think good with broken, yeah, like yeah, potential for broken because he like loops. You know, I do think he's got an annoying. There's an annoying ability of like the resources, you can move them, and like people are gonna bring in that guy to like kill your resources. But you can actually like shuffle your resources.
You're gonna have to.
It's
yeah,
it's gonna be an interesting one of like where.
Are you not allowed to look at your resources?
No, you are. But like, you're gonna want to
shuffle them. You can reorder them. So,
because people have scanning officer, which is like insanely broken.
You're gonna want to hide who your smuggle cards are.
So you're gonna kind of have to like shuffle it, but that's like weird because it's like sort of like, hey, it's, is it this one? Is it this? It's like you're going to the carnival and the guy's got the little cups.
So honestly, it's gonna. We should probably do like an updated table mechanics, or like just talk about this at some point. But like, your upkeep is probably gonna be like, put your resource down, like. Look at your resources, like, and like, shuffle. Like, you have to find a way to look at them and then shuffle them so your opponent doesn't know, or every time that you need to figure out where your smugglers are, you have to like
look and I shuffle. Think the best thing to do, and you're right, maybe I should do another mechanic, or someone should do a mechanics video, but like
we should just
the thing to do is like say like I'm going to smuggle enterprising lackeys, and then you find it and then you pay the resource, you know what I mean? Just like know that it's there, say it. Believe in yourself that it's there, and don't like don't peek.
Yeah, but there's that insecurity that's always going to creep up.
Maybe you are insecure.
I'm gonna have to look.
It's just gonna slow the game down a bit. Yeah. I feel
right. Like. You think about the bluff on smuggle now. Like you want to bluff that you have a blaster.
Yeah.
And you're like, pay three, take it back, do something else.
Bluff. Dude, this is my hot take. I actually think that smuggle is going to be brutal. For the pace of the game.
Yeah, could be.
Because like when you get into contentious situations, and we saw it like watching some of those 1Ks live, like people take tanking forever and then like drawing out that like draw, or God, the double loss, which they better get rid of. Like, man, smuggle could really amp that up to 11.
Well, the only other thing I want to say about these guys is like 5-5 for 4 is pretty good anyway.
Yeah.
Can't be bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's overstated.
And then the other thing that I find really interesting is that he lets you defeat your own resources. So like if there is a recursion mechanic, which I mean, you already have things like restock and bounty hunter crew, but he defeats the resource that he goes in for. So like you can actually pull things out of your resource row, put it in your discard pile
and like restock it
restock it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Restock, which, I think, will be the first card banned.
Yeah. And so like we've talked about this behind the scenes, and like, I guess I mentioned it probably on the podcast, but like I have explored these, like end game states, and hiding your vigilances in your resource row and like your spark of rebellions and stuff like in your restocks, even like that, like if there's a way to hide them in your resource row to get like them that. Back at the end game, like that's the way to do it. So like, do you play enterprising lackeys in a green blue or something? I don't
Smuggle
know.
Smuggle would be insane.
But like, the idea that you can actually get things out of your resource row and into your discard pile is another element to look at. So I think like people look at a card, they see, I don't know what they see, but they think things are bad. And
I love that we see a 5-5 for 4 in double green, and we're talking about restock. Like that's just where our brains go. It's just so insane. That could be the first card banned. The fact that it gets itself back is
so dumb. Yeah,
I will be playing.
It doesn't make any sense.
The bean, so I can like use the bathroom and like go buy an apple. But you guys have fun with it.
I brought my apples already. All right, I don't remember who wanted to talk about this one, but Chaos of War, new burn spell.
Oh, I picked that one.
Double red, deal damage to each player's base equal to the number of cards in that player's hand. So, this is a burn card that burns you and your opponent for how many cards in your hand. You know, if you're playing aggro, hopefully that number's really small. And if you're playing control, that number's really big. But we've also seen that, you know, control decks will continue to resource cards. So it might not always be hitting for 2 or 3. But obviously the potential is there to hit for things like 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, like, I think there are times where we wanted to play for a cause for 5 in decks. Like, I could see paying 5 for this card as a burn, you know, plan out of the sideboard. But also I wanted to pair it with, I think, another slide, which is evacuation, and you can like, you know, mop up their board and then
maybe I put these in the wrong order, but
that's okay.
The other,
that'd be kind of a fun combo.
Yeah,
bounce all their stuff and then
burn them.
Yeah,
what were you gonna say, Steve?
I was gonna say that'd be pretty expensive though. What was that like?
It's it'd be the next turn. Yeah.
11 resources.
The other thing. Shoot, what was I gonna say? I had something good. Dang, I don't remember. It was gonna be really good.
Oh, okay, so I think I have an interesting line with this card of like aggro versus control. Like, let's say that it costs 3 for you and not 5.
How dare you?
If you're playing against control, you could theoretically pass on turn 1, not play a unit, and unless they have like a card like Inferno 4, and you can just claim, and then it's an automatic 5, which is pretty crazy if they don't have a play. So like just being able to dome for 5 right away is pretty nuts. And then obviously you're essentially passing your first 2 turns. But like if control is like, hey, we're going to like kill your units anyway, and they now have to think about dumping their hand, and all you're doing is just sort of sitting back with like pings. I mean, it's a little weird because they've got a top end with some life gain, but it is just, and then like your Sabine turn is when you actually like explode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting concept of like just playing like burn, like counter burn essentially, and not necessarily like playing like a Battlefield Marine or an A-Wing, and then like dumping your hand on turn 4 after having already done the damage that never would have got through
anyway.
Initially, like your reach sort of flips with your units.
Yeah, the pass thing is interesting because it like plays into the thing that the blue controlled, like the George decks where he's like, oh, we're gonna not play anything on turn 1 so that we can always have a Childson with 4 counters or whatever, and like sort of like counters that. And then the other, this is the thing that I thought of, is like I've never been
a card.
felt more vindicated about saying I am your father's bad. Like draw, you know what? This is a tough decision, but I'm gonna let you draw 3. It's like the Uno meme.
Oh, that's insane! I didn't even think about it because we don't really play Uno. It that much.
It's like Uno. Literally the Uno meme.
Yeah,
just call it, rename it. I am your daddy.
Well, and another thing, I know like paying 5 isn't like the sexiest thing for this, but there's a lot of those cheap cards. Like, and I'm thinking of the one drop ship 2/3. Like the bounties or your opponent draws a card. So like there are these interesting strategies where like you give them the benefit of the draw card, but it's actually going to bite them in the butt later.
Worst choice.
So it's an interesting way to do it.
Well, someday I'm going to figure out the mission briefing, make my opponents draw, Chaos of War to burn them, restock to burn them when they can't draw when they're out of cards, and just continually burn them with Chaos of War and mission briefing.
Yeah, I mean, there will be someone who thinks that this is like the restock target. I mean, the restock thing is like a thing, and people are going to find what they want to use it.
Yeah, it's potentially this.
Avenue. It's potentially this.
All right, here's Evacuate. Mm-hmm. Literally a reprint of a Magic card from like beta or something. Six cost.
Yeah.
Return each non-leader unit to its owner's hand. So obviously, Matt, you were thinking about doing this with the previous card. I've already forgotten the name of it. Chaos of War.
It would be like some kind of end game state against like, okay, so just coming back to like, we're going to go back in time. We were trying to play Thrawn, right? Something like Thrawn. And the problem with Thrawn was you'd stall, and the payoff wasn't great, or it was like so hinged on Super Laser Blast. But now Evacuate lets you, like, gives you an earlier payoff for stalling them out in terms of just bouncing everything and then giving them this massive hand. Whether you play Evacuate with that strategy, which is kind of interesting, if you're playing against like a more of a mid-range deck where all of a sudden they have like, you know, a full grip because they can't play everything at once and you're able to burn them out, like that's super interesting. Or just Evacuate on its own, pairing in with cards like Outmaneuver with Ron, blue-yellow control, like we saw with Boba, but now there's like a reason that you're stalling them out. Like there's a payoff, and it's Evacuate with Super Laser Blast. So I think we're gonna see the rise of Thrawn in set 2, actually.
I got a question along those lines. What happens if you have one of your opponent's cards frozen in Carbonite and you play Evacuate?
They just go back to their hand and your thing does.
The upgrade would fall off. Like in Magic.
Great, another card that's great.
But like a card like Traitors, the unit would go back to their hand if you had a Traitor. So
right.
So they go to like the person who bought the card. at the store.
Oh shit, so my mom. Oh man.
Damn. Donna. Donna's got all these. Where the hell? Is this the yellow wrath? Like, because people say that, but is this a yellow wrath?
No, it's not a wrath, but I do think it's like a bridge to a wrath. Interesting thing I think about it with boba is like you can wait to flip boba, which I think is a really neat idea.
I love the idea of waiting to flip leaders. Like, I think that's something that's so unexplored.
Mm-hmm. But then you get the three resources back, and it's not like boba doesn't have any. So, you know, super laser blast, I think sometimes from something that happens frequently is like the opponent, you play it, like they already get to claim essentially, and then they get to, you know, be the first to act. They can replay the units in their hand, but you're going to have boba and then three mana to play something else. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, they claim, so you're going in with three drop and boba against whatever they ended up doing. And it also
which is able to answer them.
That's so I think boba blue is going to really like this card. I don't think boba, like the regular bobas, are going to like it too much. However, you look at like a boba green deck that maybe like wants to sort of like tempo people out in a different way and wants to get to like your Vaders and stuff, because you're like struggling to get there. I could see that being a card.
I could also see it being like crazy yellow boba mirror tech where like you're on the aggro plan and someone's just like, you know what, I'm just gonna reset the board and you're gonna have all these cards you can't play, and then I'm gonna chaos of war you.
I was gonna, just to your point about like unexplored leaders coming out, like waiting to come out, I think that's just like a benefit of like more sets. Like we get to explore those things because the card pool's better. Like set one was like, you know, glorified deal decks or like, you know, bad block decks. Like it's one set block. Like you need your leader to get you through that like middle part of the game. Right. But now with like more cards like Frozen and Carbonite and Capture and Evacuate and this and that,
we're playing real
you're
cards.
Able to kind of. Yeah, you're going to start to see, like, those nuanced strategies come out. And I love that boba is so good that it's like, oh, okay, you want to play this in your Thrawn deck? I'm just going to play it in blue boba and you can do things.
One more quick rule question. If one of your guys is captured by the opponent and you upheaval, what happens to the capture?
He goes to the battlefield, so he would
not.
Yeah,
he gets to go and play.
Then you're going to be up a card already, in theory.
Oh, if you've been captured.
Yeah,
it's a great answer.
It's good anti-capture. Yeah, I mean,
so is Super Laser Blast, you know? Like, if they're going to be capturing our cards as control, it's going to lean in. You're going to not want to be capturing against control too often.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy you want to capture. Toro Calican. Nope. Look at this guy. 3 cost, 3/5. When you play a bounty hunter, if you deal damage to it, you ready this dude. Where did this guy come from? He's a random Mando character from a random episode, one episode. Yeah. I mean, it was a good episode. He steals Grogu.
And he was just like a dweeb, and now he's broken. I love it.
Yeah, I think this guy's broken, unfortunately. I mean, he's a unit, so there's like a level there, a unit that doesn't impact the board pre-removal. Yeah,
they could just kill him.
But, you know, so he's not quite like, oh my god, this guy's gonna... I don't think this guy will get banned, and he does have to once a turn thing.
Yeah.
But he's going to be really annoying to deal with, and he's going to be really annoying for, like, people. All they need to do is just play a bounty hunter, and he just does 6 damage. So, like,
I don't know why he's
the guy that does 6 damage, you know?
Yeah, I know. Compare, I like, the
really part is that he's just villain. So he can go in
anything.
Any villain.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's crazy. Yep. And I think he makes the one drop bounty hunter, the like neutral one that just like is a 1/2 that deals 2 damage when you control another bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. Like combos perfectly with this thing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like just for cheap, or like you play this in boba, you get to untap one and play that guy, hit something for 2, and then ready this guy. Like you can really start to mess people up for very cheap and just a couple cards.
The only thing I'll say is that just the level that cards are scaling up in terms of their power level is like pretty drastic. So like, you know, the 3/5 stats are very good. Like they're the, you know, boba unit was one of the best ones, but like like having access to more removal and more things that kill them. And like, you know, you think about like a card like Poe or a card like we just saw a 5/5 for 4 that, you know, can ECL and just kill this guy. Obviously like you're playing good cards, but like it's not like you just can't get this guy off the board ever.
Yeah, you know he's what I mean? He's like, easy to kill, but he's going to be a lightning rod for whatever. You know what
exactly.
I mean? They're going to have
yeah.
to burn.
Your next thing and your next thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like you, control decks are going to take six and not really blink. It's not the yeah. biggest yeah. deal in the world, but like left unchecked, he can do a lot of damage.
He
and
can
like
ramp up.
He's yeah. doing something nobody else does. Like we thought the 3/5 stat line for a 3-drop was so insane in set one, and now we've got like you know multiple guys with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think he's really good.
Really
all right, here's a contentious card. Daring Raid. Deal 2 damage to a unit or base for 1. I think this card's good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
yeah I don't... Shock. It's, I think it's overrated currently. I think it's clearly not bad, but I don't... My opinion is that there's not that many units that kills 1 for 1. Obviously, it can finish things off, but mm-hmm. that's not, like, a 1 for 1 situation. And, like, okay, maybe you want to burn, but... Who's not moving the needle a ton that way?
Yeah, Shock so, wasn't you know, always constructed playable either. You right. know, it was a great draft like, card. And when Goblin
about,
Guide came around, obviously.
Right, like the whole concept of Lightning Bolt, Shock, all these cards, is you kill the first turn that the opponent does something. So then you get to essentially, we trade a card and the game hasn't started until the second turn.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really happen with this card too much. Like, unless you're playing against a lot of, like, Kylo's Ties. And I do think that...
The 3-2s are coming
The 3-2 ships... The 3-2 ships are big. Like, they could be very popular, but, like, 3-2 on the ground, not happening anymore, you know?
I mean, I'll tell you, like, my current Sabine list has zero X2s in it. Like, just... Wing Leader. But, like, obviously, Wing Leader's
yeah,
different.
Yeah,
but, like,
Bolt, yeah.
I don't have any of... Like, I looked at Ketsu, he was in, and now Ketsu's out because, like, 1 minute you're in, the next minute you're out. It's Fashion Week.
Yeah.
But, like...
That's amazing.
I think people have to build around this card, and then people are going to say, wait, this doesn't actually, like, do all that much. And, like, it's a card. You have to use it, and you have to spend it, and it's... I don't think it has a tremendous... I actually think like Cloud Rider is like maybe more of a lightning bolt than this card, even though this obviously yeah. kills the Cloud Rider.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of good 3-2s, at least in the air. I think it's going to be one of those cards that's like, does it come in the sideboard? Do you run it in a 1-1 depending on what's in the meta? Perfect. Definitely very limited playable, but it's like a good card and in the right situation you want it. And yeah, sometimes you're not going to need it.
Sorry, I got a little battery issue going on right now.
Yeah, you're good. Steve, is this where are you picking this? Is this a high pick?
Oh, draft.
I think it's a fine card. Like, I think if it does see play, it'll probably more likely see play in a mono red burn, where you can use it to either like get that. It may be a rare situation, but you get that 1 for 1, and then your unit can get into the base, or you just use it to like get the last 2 points of damage.
Yeah, I really look forward to trying to like. Chain this with Fighters for Freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've had plenty of games where I've come, like, 1 or 2 HP short of winning in necessarily an aggro matchup, and then you can just play this to just dome them to the face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, I do think it is, like, it's a totally different card in an actual burn deck.
Yeah.
That plays that other card, is, like, trying, you know, playing four cause, and, like, you don't ping off of this, but you keep it because it's an extra, you know, you're getting net +1 on it.
Yeah,
so
the
like
kind
of
card that you might
want to
play card draw in, like Mission
exactly.
Briefing or whatever the new 2-cost one is. Like, they discard, you draw.
Yeah, or like part of some weird like post-board plan when you're just like not playing units and just burning. Like, something along those lines.
All right, so here's a cool one. Lurking Tie Phantom, 3-cost, 2-2. Raid 2, so it punches for 4, and it can't be captured,
yeah.
damaged, or defeated by enemy card abilities. So that there are some
can't
things to get around this. Can't be shocked.
Can't be power to the dark side.
Can be make an opening.
Yep, it can be make an opening because it's not defeating. -2/-2ing for its full health is doesn't count as defeating. Damage defeats. So something like the shock or open fire couldn't kill this. Power of the dark side doesn't kill this because you get to select. What you defeat, and you can select this, and it can't be defeated.
Ooh,
by that.
I like
so
that.
It doesn't
break. Yeah, different than magic.
Yeah, it's different than magic, right? But it's still, yeah, and it swings for four. But like Justin mentioned earlier today, it just dies to a TIE fighter. So it's still pretty fragile in the right, in the wrong situation.
Yeah, I got really excited about it at first. I was like, you just play this card and like beat the control decks because they can't beat it. But then you realize that the control decks play Inferno 4, which like just attacks right into it.
Yeah.
And then they can bring in like system patrol crafts, and they can even bring in their own version of this to like just trade. And like, it's just too hard to like make this, like maybe there's a shell that plays like blue and then you're able to get a field on it. But I just don't see it happening. Like, and I do think this game, like, you know, control mirror in Magic, you'd bring in like a unit and you'd have like a card that they took out all their removal and sideboard. It just doesn't work the same way in this game where like a single unit's going to take you there.
Mm. Yeah, it's because in Magic you don't have to block. You know what I mean? Times, you just like, yeah. You'd be like, okay, I'll take this damage, but it doesn't work like that in this game. But yeah. I do think if there's a spot for it, if people can find a spot for it, like I could see like yellow Tarkin really, really liking this.
Tarkin for sure. Ways to get counters on.
Yeah, anything that buffs it. It's still Imperial. It's still a ship that punches for four. So
yeah, the guard deck might not hate it. Like you suit it up and like snapshot, it becomes a five attack. Like it hits for five, and then it's got three booty. Like I think the thing is like you got to test it, but in a lot of decks, it's still gonna die to the same things as what 7 feet defender is going to be way worth it because like, yeah, make an opening still kills both of them, but like 7th fleet lives against so much other shit.
Yeah.
And then like,
yeah,
what one damage, you know what I mean? So I think when fighting for that spot, it's kind of tough. And I don't think you want to gum up your deck with a ton of 3-drop ships.
And if you want to like make this super powerful, it's still got like space stats. So like, you're like, oh, I can like put a counter on it with the TIE advance to make, and then like the opponent played like a Battlefield Marine.
Yeah.
And just
yeah,
like play a metal thermo, and they're working so much.
Yeah, space stats. Yeah, you so, need to do like the Imperial Air Gar Saxon, but like 3 is so chunky. Like,
yeah, you can't so many 2 better things to 3.
Yeah,
yeah, that's why like ECL. Rule. ECL killing this thing is just like a major issue too. Mm-hmm. Any ship.
All right, here's a crazy one.
Double red.
Bo-Katan, cool. Double red, 2-drop.
So good.
Is there a 3rd double red card today? I don't know, but maybe I'm just thinking about Krayt Dragon. Oh, no, he's only single red. Bo-Katan, double red, 3-3, Mandalorian Trooper. When defeated, for each player with 15 or more damage on their base draw cards. She could potentially draw 2 when she dies.
That's insane.
What a top deck. Yeah. This is like, how many times do you brick drawing your 2-drop in aggro? That she's not a brick.
Yeah.
Amazing on 2, amazing on 5. Like drawing 2 if both players have 15. Sabine obviously ticks you down. Mono red Sabine has just been like going through the roof. And this is one of the top 5 cards in the set. Like, just such a powerful card. Like, any card that does amazing stuff on the first turn and the last turn of the game is just amazing.
Yeah,
and
like, it's so rare too.
I'm really interested in double red now.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be? Like, 3. There's so many insane double red things, and then like aggression's already good.
Yeah.
You've already got card draw in that deck. You've already got burn in that deck. Like, you're gonna be able to make mono red so efficient. I'm really excited for it.
And like ECL,
oop, I didn't mean to.
Rebel Assault and Battlefield Marine are like the three green cards that I really wanted. Now like, here's the Battlefield Marine.
Yeah.
With upside. Mm-hmm. So.
Now here's a question: Would you pay? Would you pay 4 for her in draft?
Oh, in draft.
Probably.
Han, right? Because then she'd only be 3.
In Han, yeah, definitely not.
Definitely if you have enough Mandos, it's like interesting.
I mean, it's really interesting to draw too late. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you could
easily
draft do a double red deck with all the cards that got
set. Yeah, I just meant like in limited, is she worth playing on Aspect? And I think I would give it a shot.
I think so.
Especially, like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, if you get in, and this is more of a local thing and less, like, a high-level draft thing, but, like, sometimes you get in these, like, 6-man drafts, and, like, your playables at the end are dicey.
It's a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, true.
All right. I flashed him earlier, but here's Supreme Leader Snoke. 6-6 for 8. First Order Force Official. and each enemy non-leader unit gets -2/-2. Our first like static. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the effect is called in Magic, but basically like debuff.
Yeah,
Anthem.
I think he's really good. I just because he's tied to a unit is what like keeps me back from saying broken. Like, I'm a big blue villain guy, and I think Snoke is a really good end game. Don't get me wrong, but like, I can't see like wanting to play like 3 Snoke over like 3 Avengers and like stuff like that. Like, I still think Avengers is an insane finisher, but I do like Snoke as like a 1-1 split or in some kind of like force deck.
Yeah, not as powerful as Avenger.
I just don't think
he's
going to end the game as quick.
Not as powerful as Avenger, but very good. And I think more surprisingly, like, locks out some games that Avenger can't lock out.
Right, like when they're wild. Yeah, when they've got a lot of guys out.
Even like mid-range, he's going to save you a ton of health.
Yeah, for sure. I think anytime they have more than a couple units, you're going to have wanted this guy over the Avenger, because he's going to actually let you win the race, even if they don't go after him.
I guess my
situations.
Point is like I want him when I have maybe like a leader or something else I can feel good about
like
finishing
Kira?
The game for me.
Oh yeah, well I was thinking like Kira's ability, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, with Kira's ability flipping and then doing that and like delaying the flip as we talked about could lead to an insane turn. I guess
with
like,
Gideon Hask out and then just getting like 5 tokens. Just
yeah,
over there, just
you just gotta make sure your deck can finish them thing. Off. So, like, maybe you don't play Avenger and you play this, but you need some gas.
Yeah, I think somewhere along those lines, decks are going to start having a combination of, like, 2 Avenger, 1 Snoke, or 2 Snoke, 1 Avenger.
Yeah.
Or, if nothing else, he's the sideboard alternative to Avenger in the right situation.
Yeah,
the right
situation. I kind of like that is where I'm leaning with it.
Cool.
I think he's definitely going to be a legendary that sees a lot of play.
Oh, yeah. He's in the 60. Year. It's like Steve said, which didn't, you know, denomination. But I think he's really powerful.
All right, is that it for cards? That's it for cards. We got some Patreon questions. We're up to 811. We stalled out for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden, the other day, we just started cranking. I don't know if it was the coaching announcement, but we've gotten like 25 new subs or 20-ish new subs in the last 3 days.
Great, welcome.
Yeah, this is a sweet big hit. Could also people be excited for set 2.
Yeah, it could just be that. So here's one that I thought you might like, Steve. How do you apply the principles of leveled thinking to draft when you don't know what your opponent has when a set is brand new? So, like, how actively on a new set are you trying to play around things versus just, like, jamming out the best situation for you?
Probably not so much playing around things. Like, obviously, when you in some of the drafts, like, you place things come up, but, like, assuming you're looking at it in a vacuum, I think more of where you can apply that, and I was actually thinking about this the other day when I was talking about potentially getting some team drafts when we're in Gen Con, is using, knowing what you're passing to the person to your left should set you up to receive what you want for pack 2, because you switch the directions. So I think there is some level of thinking there in terms of what you pass, and especially in like a team draft scenario where it's like, all right, I have these are the top 3 cards in this pack. If I'm going to take the blue one, knowing that the person on my left might take a card that's a little bit more powerful, but you're going to set your teammate up with the card you want for their draft, their mm-hmm. color. And then then knowing what both the 2 people to your left are more than likely drafting, you're going to get a lot more information and be able to get the cards you want for pack 2.
Yeah, much easier to do in draft than like your pre-release, right? Because you get to see the cards. And like Steve said, it's like, okay, I know that these are 3 best cards. I take one. He's going to take, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I think like, you know, just pay attention to what you're passing in draft. Like if you know you passed a bunch of waylays or a bunch of shocks, like know that they're out there. People are going to have them. People are probably going to play them. So I think it makes it easier in draft. In sealed at a pre-release, just listen to what everyone's saying, because everyone loves to talk about what's in their board.
Oh my god.
Yeah. They'll show you that rare they pulled.
Alright, so this one's pretty general, but what's a good strategy for deck building in Unlimited? That's like very, very vague, but what do you focus on for a new deck? Like, what's driving you to build a new deck?
I think the pillars of the meta, like when I build a deck, I think what it can be can it be aggressive enough to sort of not have to deal with like these restock type games? Can I get there like in a similar way that like Sabine is able to get there pretty frequently? So that was like my approach with Kylo. Or can you get some really big tempo advantage same way Boba gets in a similar way? So like I looked at some CAD lists or hero Bobas, like is there a way to sort of get ahead in the mid range war without losing to the control war? So I definitely have a meta in mind. And I don't want to lose to, I want to have advantages or at least understand where I am against the top decks. And then, you know, show up to a tournament and you lose to Chewie, you lose to Chewie. But like, it's more about like wanting to beat the decks that I'm expecting to play and know how to play against them, like know what I want to do. And sometimes it doesn't always equate to a win, but I know like how I'm going to win and I want to try to get that plan going through my deck building.
What about you, Mikey?
For me, it's when I find something that I think has a different angle on the meta, so I can kind of step outside those pillars and not be like the typical aggro deck or control deck or mid-range deck, and I can do something slightly different that people aren't ready for. That's what leads me to build a new deck, where I'm like, okay, let me go into the lab, let me start to construct this, let me start to explore the lines. You know, a lot of my testing is like testing against you guys, figuring out what's good, working on that list, and making it as good as I think we can make it. But when I'm picking up a new deck, I want to attack in a different way.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up, and I talk about this a little bit in my like live deck building. I think the two live deck building videos I've done, but like first is like inherent power of like just the ability that the leader has pre-flip, and like is it a triggered ability that you don't have to do anything and it just happens? That to me is like the top tier that I'm looking at exploiting, because it's you get to keep initiative, you know, you're getting added value. Like same with static, you know, those anthems like a Gar or a Krennic, like those just happen, those are free, things like that. And if I have to play a premium, it like tap action, it better be worth it. And then pay in action, it's like really gotta be, that's like pretty hard to do, I feel like. And then from there, like deploy costs and all that stuff. But
so economy, I don't even leader based, like economical stuff.
Exactly. Like, I don't even think of the meta yet. I just think of like, how can I exploit the action economy of the game, and let's build it, and then let's fire it at all the other stuff. And that's probably why I'm on Mando so much, when probably just mid. It just feels like something's there.
What do you got, Steve?
Yeah, I think along the lines of where you talked about is where I kind of always tend to go in my deck building. I also like trying to be a little bit more creative and trying to play my own little brews or something I came up with as opposed to everyone else. So I definitely think trying, like what you said about attacking from a different angle, and like for me, the creativity of just doing something differently.
Yeah, I love that too. Professor Numpty, what do you think the chase cards are that we've seen so far at a set 2? What do you expect them to be valued at since the beginning? Silencer and Poe come to mind. I guess, like, is there any legendary that you think is going to be... just in the essence of, like, keeping this short, what do you think the most expensive legendary for set 2 is going to be?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll go Snoke.
I like Poe. I don't think he'll be... Maul, is Maul legendary? Or is he so rare? Mm. He's so good.
I think Darksaber will be up there.
Yeah, Darksaber's really good. Poe's really good. I'm going to be honest, like, I'm definitely more excited about the uncommons and stuff than the legendaries. And,
For sure. But if we're talking just, like, straight up price stuff, you've done price videos. We did the price contest. I'm looking at the list now.
Yeah, I'm trying to look.
I think Poe will be in the Boba range, the Boba unit range, the Luke unit range. Maybe because he's the chase of this setup. I don't know if it makes him higher or lower. Probably makes him higher.
How's this? Do you think Kylo and Ren will be like hugely sought after?
Oh, Kylo or Rey, and Rey.
Sorry. Yeah, Rey.
No. I think my pick is Kylo's silencer would probably be
the most expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Justin.
Kill it with a shock.
You could just
kill it with a shock. What are we doing here?
That's my guess. Okay, so this is a long one. It's actually much longer from Kodiak Duck, but I cut it down. From personal experience from other games, purposeful practice is one of the best ways to learn. What are you trying to learn? What's your goal? And what are the things you want to do to get better at?
Good question.
Yeah, I thought we could each say one thing that, like, when we're playing, what's the thing we're trying to improve upon?
So for me, I'll just start. So kind of tying it to the question before the last one, when you build a deck, I think we've all done this, where you build it and it's circling your mind. You've got the list written out, and now with tech, you can maybe put it on a computer screen. And then you build it into that first time you play it. And then usually one of two things happens. Like, oh, wow, what I thought was going to happen didn't work, and it's just very bad. Or like, huh, this isn't obviously its first track, but like there's something here. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to tap into one of those two channels. And oftentimes it's the former, where like the idea doesn't work the same way into what you're trying. And so for that reason, I actually like to oftentimes play into some of the more difficult matchups first to kind of get it out of my system. Like, can it beat, you know, an aggro deck? Like, it's too slow. Can it beat Sabine? So let's just play it. Let's find out. The other night we were playing Kylo, and we were recognizing it has a weakness against like blue villain, like the green blue villain decks. And we played, and it didn't perform well. So it's like, oh boy, like that. We were right about it. So. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of like embracing the sort of like a stress test, putting a stress test on the deck.
Yeah, I like all that, especially like when you think about it from like where your deck originates from and what the next steps are. When I play most of my games, I'm trying to just get better at my sequencing and my mechanics and seeing the table a little bit better and not going through the motions. It's why I haven't been using any quick action iteration gaming for Unlimited lately. I've been trying to step back and just like play a few games, actually be thoughtful about my experiences in those games and try and play better. Yeah. Just try and eliminate the leaks. I guess that's the best way to put what my goal is. Like, just stop the leaks on my gameplay when I'm playing. It's like, that's how I try and spend my time because I get to play so little now.
Yeah. Honestly, like the biggest thing I'm having trouble with right now is learning to draw and lean my resource before I untap.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's just
one.
Like trying to like overcome years and years of.
Mm-hmm. You'll get there.
You go to those drafts. We'll get it ingrained in you.
I believe in you. All right, Maddie, take us home. What's your
thing? Yeah, so it's kind of similar to you, Mike. And like, I agree. Like, right now in our process, it's definitely more of like a Justin thing. But like, when I think of what I'm always trying to improve, especially when it comes to the big tournaments, is like having that like cadence that's going to keep you in the game the entire time. So like, I'm a big golfer, and like one thing is the pre-shot routine, and it's like club selection, visualizing the shot, finding a feel, and then executing the shot. Like, you need to find a way, or like I need to find a way, and I think it's like a good thing for everyone, is like finding a way to bring some sort of cadence into your game that's going to snap you back into like go mode and make the right decisions. So that's me, like trying to not go into autopilot, like catching myself when my mind wanders, like stuff like that. So creating this cadence that's going to get the most out of my brain power when I play. So I'm working on.
Yeah, I love all that. I love getting those habits in. Like, I always play a practice game every time I go to a tournament just to warm up. I shuffle the same way. For a lot of big events, I use headphones to sort of like clear my mind and like stop talking to people. Just like a little bit before the round starts, you know, like shuffling with the music on, really clearing my mind has always been really helpful. So like, yeah, anything that gets you into the right experience, I think the right headspace is great. Cool. Well, that's all we got. Yeah. That's everything. What a very cool 70-minute podcast that we just did.
Great.
Perfect amount of time. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with the full, like, that'll be in the middle of pre-release weekend. So I'll have done one. Yep. Keep an eye out on this channel for pre-release content. I'm dipping out to Spain tomorrow, so I'll be gone for 8 days, 9 days.
Have a fun trip, Mikey.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
And like, one fun thing about pre-release season, and I know it's like,
good luck in the tournament. Over there.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah.
The Nice Open.
Yeah, the where you win paella. No, but one thing I was going to say, and like, it is pumping our Patreon a little bit, but like, pre-release season is so fun. Like, we see everyone's pools. When they get their product, we have like people crack setups, streams, and we crack boxes in the stream. Like, I cannot wait.
I will
for
be
that.
Opening
like, I'm gonna
a
be
box.
Sipping a glass of wine and watching people pull their rares. Like, oh my God, it's going to be so much fun.
If you're on the Patreon already, you will be getting an alert. I don't care where you live in the world. In the stream, box opening happening right now. Your phone will get pinged.
Yeah, because we got like a little bit of it. Like, I don't think we had completely like, you know, been as popular as we were at the start. So it was very small, and like now it's gonna just go to 11. It's going to be like a freaking 2-week long pre-release party.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, boys. We out.
All right, good pod.
Later.